in keeping with my promise to you to present Bible studies on a regular basis, I thought that I'd go back to October 1999 in the Anselm Episcopal Bible Fellowship when we were located in Inglewood, California. Thriving congregation, the more I present the Word of God, the more the congregation begins to shrink. We were in a rented hall there, and people at that time were interested in what was going on around them in 1999, about 4 or 5 years after I had preached the Jude series, and the tremendous, huge megachurch constructions that were taking place. As a matter of fact, West Angeles Church of God in Christ had just begun to build their monstrosity there. They were into the first or second stages of it. I'd like you to enter into a Bible study and to join the Bible study parishioners as they listen in. Enjoy this Bible study.
All right. How's everybody doing? Everybody's doing all right? Good. We're going to have a word of prayer and then we'll get right into this tonight. And hopefully you're going to learn something from God's word that we did not know before. That we want to continue to pray for our fellowship and all other Bible fellowship. And also keep in your prayers our Friday night broadcast. Our Bible study tonight is kind of like a preparatory for our Friday night broadcast, because what we talk about on Friday nights, we like you here in the church to be a little cut above, and so that you can know where we're headed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time in the Word tonight. We pray that we'll be tremendously benefited from going through this study. We ask in Jesus' name that we'll learn something that we never knew before. We ask it again in His name. Amen. It's great to have Bible study. There was a guy named Ravi Zacharias. I don't know whether you ever heard of him, but he writes a lot of theological literature, and he wrote an article called Biblical Authority and Cultural Relativism, and he writes, and it's 4 pages, I'm not going to read it all, but he says that some years ago I read a powerful book by the famed theologian Carl Henry entitled The Christian Mindset in a Secular Society. The book, he says, was quite prophetic. He says, for it set forth plainly where the lines of a cultural battle were to be drawn and how far-reaching the fallout would be. Then he talked about two ideas. And he said that the first one was that biblical truth, transcultural as it is, has an indispensable message for a modern man. In other words, he says that the biblical message should be transcultural, and that transcultural message for modern man will cause an adamant type of growth within the church. And as I read that, I said, boy, that's great. I continue to read, and he says, Carl Henry referred to this generation as intellectually uncapped, morally unzipped, and volitionally uncurbed, because the society that we live in today takes a theological concept and goes off on the deep end of it, and the next thing you know, you're having yourself to define, is that truly biblical Christianity? So, if you were going to build a church, and if you were going to ask the question, is our church growing comfortably? Is it growing correctly? Are we having the right kind of church, or should we follow the status quo? I think some of the issues that a lot of pastors are confronted with is this. What kind of growth do you want in the church? What kind of growth are you looking for in the church? What kind of church growth are you wanting to be a part of? And what does the Bible say about that? And that's why our outline here, and what I've done is I've given you an awful lot of material on both sides. And if other folk come in and we run out, we have some more copies right here for them. But it's called Lessons of Church Growth, as found in the book of Acts. What you want to do is, if you ever want to discover how a church is supposed to grow, whether a church is user-friendly, whether it's a purpose-driven church, whether it's a seeker-sensitive ministry, what you want to do is you want to always weigh that next to the Bible, okay? Not necessarily next to the person that just gets out of seminary. Part of my dialogue for Friday night is I'm painting the picture of a young man that just goes through 4 years of graduate school. He studies all the theology that he possibly can. He starts to get going ahead in ministry, and the first question that he is confronted with is, what kind of ministry is he going to build? How is he going to build that ministry? What kind of a church is it going to be? How is he going to get that church to grow? Well, a guy named Frank Stagg has described the book of Acts as the story of an unhindered gospel. And he gets this term from an adverb in Acts chapter 28, verse 31. Why don't you turn to that with me? And that'll be the key scripture that we're going to look at today. And it should be, as you follow along with their outline, I'll be giving you the fill-in scriptures. And it says, unhindered is the word that we're looking at. And of course, the scripture is Acts 28, verse 31. So you can fill in that verse 31 on your format. As you follow along, you will be able to follow along as I teach the Bible study. See, you need your sheet right there. And then if there's need for more sheets, we want you to follow along. What you need? You need a pen, huh? All right. Fine. We can fix you up. All righty. Just want you to pull one of them out of there and help yourself. Okay. Let's read this verse. Verse 31 says, well, I'd really like to start reading with verse 30. It says, and he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was becoming, and that is, was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. Who has a King James Bible? New King James. What does it say in the New King James? Okay, with all confidence, no one forbidding him. This unhindering aspect here is what we're going to talk about, because what this presents an idea of, it presents an idea of growth. In other words, as the word of God was being preached, that the church grew. What makes a church grow today is the proclamation of the word of God. That's all. That's all. I'm going to keep it very simple. The only thing that causes a church to grow is a proclamation of the word of God. That's all. No gimmicks, no schemes, no nothing else. Nothing but the word of God. He says that the whole book focuses on a remarkable growth of the church under the guidance of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're going to do on your outline, you also see that I have all this, number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven. Well, these are scriptures that we're going to look at as we look at this unhindered growth. And the first scripture under number one is Acts chapter 2, verses 34 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 34 through 47. I'm going to give you so much scripture here, and the reason that I'm doing that is because it is scripture that is going to cause the word of God to cause your ministry to grow. People are going to ask you, well, are you in a good church? Is your church growing? Why isn't your church growing? Well, the Bible makes it very, very plain. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 34, it reads like this. It says, for it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on thy right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ Jesus, whom you crucified. Now, check out what happens in verse 37. And it says, now when they heard this, they were pierced to their heart. The preaching of the word of God does something to these people. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto him, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the purpose, that is, the promises unto you and your children, and for all those that are afar off, as many as our Lord God shall call to himself. And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. You note the tone of the gospel. It's one where he's saying, you folk need to be saved. You folk need to repent. You folk need to, it was the word of God that drew this church to grow. In other words, the unhindered proclamation of, in other words, when the people were pricked in their heart and they were bothered in their consciences by the proclamation of the message. Well, we see here in these verses people coming to Christ and receiving more. Now look at verse 40. In many other words, he solemnly testified and exhorting them, said, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word, those are the Christians, were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now here's a birthday of the church. This is one of the roughest messages that you've ever heard preached in the history of the Christian church. And 3,000 people get saved, and look what happens, and they continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Verse 42 is very important because after the word is proclaimed, they are continuously listening to the apostles. They aren't listening to other people. That's bringing a different form of dogma. Listening to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. And what happened? Verse 43, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. See, that's what's wrong in the church today. There's no sense of awe because there's no sense of proclamation of the word because the word has been hindered. It's not being proclaimed freely. We have people saying what God has never said, and therefore there's no sense of awe. That's what I was speaking with a young man today. Young man that would be going to all these other huge churches. And I asked him, I says, why do you come to Anselm? He says, well, I'll tell you one thing, man. I used to go to church and it just bugged me up. The guy wasn't getting through. You're making this thing very, very plain, very simple to me. It's clear. When the word of God is preached plainly and clearly, there's a sense of awe that happens. The people were awestruck. Now look what happened. They felt a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Now look at the response. And all those who had believed were together. There's another indication that you have a true Christian ministry. You're together. Now, this together means that when the word of God is preached with the proclamation, there's a sense of awe, there's a sense of tranquility, there's a sense of unity, and they're all together. And it says, and had all things in common. It didn't mean that they all liked greens. It didn't mean that they all ate grits. It meant that spiritually, they were all on the same course, or on the same ballpark. And they began selling their property and their possessions and sharing them with all, as anyone that had a need. And day by day, continuing in one mind in the temple, breaking bread, and from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day, those who are being saved. Now, that's a lot of scriptures, but I need you to understand that what brought that on was the proclamation of one kind of message. You don't hear that today. There's so much stuff out there, and that's why churches don't grow. And so if you want to look for a good pattern to make a church grow, that's what you do. Second scripture is Acts 5:14. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. That's for the second scripture there. Let's see if this same principle takes place. Acts chapter 5 verse 14 reads like this. And all the more the believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. Here again, we see another indication. Multitudes of men and women. Now you notice why you don't see any children? I'm going to tell you why you don't see any children. You don't see any children because they didn't have such thing as a children's church like we have. There was no children's church in the first century. This children's church is a new modern phenomenon that we didn't set up. Because, you know, now we can't have our children sit next to us because they need their own private little thing over there where they can have their little fun time. There was no children's church in the first century. But you see here, I'm talking about men and women. These were the ones that were responsible for not only the proclamation of the word, but how it was even acquiesced. The third one is Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Just go over to the next page. And Acts chapter 6, verse 7, and the word of the Lord kept on spreading. And look what happened as the word of the Lord kept on spreading. And the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly. Whenever you see an increase of disciples in the church, it's the same word of the Lord, the doctrine of the apostles, that's spreading. You don't see gimmicks, you don't see schemes, you don't see church visitations, you don't see choir singing, you don't see fundraisers, you don't see anything, but the word of the Lord kept spreading and the number continued to grow in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. I have always had this belief that if any preacher, if any teacher just gets up and proclaims the word of God repeatedly over and over and over again, it has the same effect on people's lives. It causes them to grow in the Lord. Look at Acts 9:31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Stand in the book of Acts. That's our theme where we're headed. Because people are going to ask you. They're going to say, no, you guys got a user-friendly church? I'll tell you, we got a word-friendly church. As a matter of fact, it's not going to be the power of a bishopric. But at the same time, that Episcopal form is what's unique. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say, you know, Lord, I'm tired of all that other stuff out there. Because, see, all that other stuff out there has never produced a rich and full church. What it has produced is division amongst believers that do not know the word of God. I figure that if a church is biblical, and those individuals have nothing but the solid concourse of the word of God, they cannot miss out on what's happening. 9:31 reads like this. Now it came to pass that as Peter was traveling throughout all the parts, he came down also to the saints who lived in Lydda. Is that 9:31? No, that was not 9:31. I'm sorry. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace. Here's the key. Being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Spirit, it continued to what? Increase or multiply. You guys got some sheets? Okay. All right. It continued to multiply. Whenever we see scriptures, whenever we see what a Bible-believing church is, we see this multiplication principle taking place. The church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, they were peaceful and they grew. Whenever you got a church where there's no peace in it, it's not going to grow. Whenever there's foolishness in a church, whenever there is anything in the church but the simple proclamation of the word of God, whenever there's conflict, whenever there's disloyalty, whenever there's foolishness, that ministry is not going to grow. You want to know what's going to make a church grow? The proclamation of the simple word of God over and over and over and over, and it produces a massive awe-ness in the people of God. For those of you that just came in, we're on page 1 and we're just filling in the scriptures. What number are we on, class? Number 3. Fourth scripture, that number, okay. Now we're going to fill out the fifth scripture. The fifth scripture is Acts chapter 12, verse 24. Acts chapter 12, verse 24. What we're doing is we're coming to the point to discover, hello, Lawana, how are you? We're coming to the point to discover what makes a church grow. What makes a church grow? Since we're going to talk about user-friendly churches and things like that, and now you're looking at what kind of a church you're in. Acts 12, 24 says, but the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. You see, God's word, when proclaimed, continues to produce fruitfulness. It is the character of a biblical fellowship to grow, always. Biblical fellowships always multiply. They always grow because the only people that want that are the true individuals that need the word of God to grow them up. When you find a fellowship is not growing, it is because that fellowship has sought to substitute something else for what the word is supposed to produce in its followers. That's what makes you Christians, and that's what makes you completely different from anyone else. How about number six? That's Acts 16:5. Acts chapter 16:5, as we fill this out. And we have a lot of scripture and a lot of things to cover. And the reason that I'm giving you these texts of scripture is because I want you to be able to communicate to people that say, well, is your church growing? You need to be able to give them some Bible and say, this is the kind of growth our church is going to be. Don't you all have a jam and choir? No jam and choir here. The word grows us up here. This is Anselm Episcopal Bible Church. This ain't no Anselm Episcopal Get Happy group. See, when you're Bible church, it's the Bible that produces growth. That's like I'm presenting scripture to you here. Nothing but scripture. Because all you're going to get from me is Bible.